Hi, welcome to the Writer's Source podcast, hosted by Ufoma and Faith. The Writer's Source podcast is a platform for writers and lovers of the writing industry in Nigeria and Africa as a whole. Do sit back and enjoy this episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Writer's Source podcast. We're happy to be back. And with us today is a seasoned writer, an amazing guest, Nigerian-American Nike Campbell. Nike Campbell is American, born in Ukraine and raised in Lagos, Nigeria. She was a finalist for the 2018 Red Hen Press Fiction Award for a historical fiction manuscript. A selection of her short stories from her collection, Bury Me Come Sunday Afternoon, has been adapted for film, which have won international awards. She's the author of the historical fiction Thread of Gold Beads. Saro is her second work of historical fiction. Nike is based in Florida, USA, with her family. Welcome,
Nike. Thank you so much. Thank you, Foma. Thank you, Faith, for having me. Happy to be here.
We are so excited to speak with you. Yes, indeed. So when your publishers reached out to us, we were very excited because I had seen a bit of press about the book and the title was catchy for me. Yes, and I just wanted to know what this is about. I don't think I'm one that would usually pick up a historical fiction book, but this really took us on a journey, I must say, and I'm just really happy for us to dive in and talk about it.
Yeah.
So in our first episode, we talked briefly about, you know, Saro, how we're looking forward to talking with you. And just for some of our listeners who might be thinking that Saro is about that movie, I would like you to please tell us briefly about the book. Why did you choose to tell this story? Why this story? And why the title, Saro?
Don't you? I'll start with the title of the book. It was not initially called Saro, actually. So, but the name just fit. It was named that when I realized, wow, this would fit. It was actually a collaboration of ideas from my publisher. Like, hey, what title should we use? And then this name came out. Like, it's perfect. Saro actually means, it's a Yoruba word, which means someone who's from Sierra Leone. An immigrant who has migrated back from Sierra Leone to Nigeria. So in the Yoruba community, almost Sarunye, you're a child from Sierra Leone. They kind of like the lineage way back from the names. They know like you must have, your family must have come all the way from Sierra Leone. You are Saro people. So that's the way they always title them and label them. So the name came natural when I started writing the story because my family is actually, we can trace ourselves back from to Sierra Leone, and this story is based on my family and their history. So I wrote this story just to educate people, but also to find out more about who I am, because this story had been in my family for many years, and I knew that my maternal family had come from Sierra Leone. They were originally from Abeokuta, but many years ago, a young prince by the name of Shiolu was kidnapped with his pregnant wife, and they were sent. They were on their way to the Americas, but they were actually saved on the ocean by the British naval ship, and they were taken to Sierra Leone. And that's where they stayed for 20 years. So this story is about their lives and their children and how they basically found their way and found themselves in a different land and then found their way back to Abeokuta and then Lagos, Nigeria. So this is a family story, but it's also a universal story about our struggles as human beings and how we adapt and how we survive trauma and how we grow and thrive even in difficult situations. So this is all our story. And that's why people should pick it up to read as well.
I think that it's interesting that you mentioned that about Saro, because I didn't know that fact. I didn't know that Saro was a word used to describe someone that was an outsider. Because I remember, I don't know if you've seen this movie, Anikulapo, where this guy was called Saro in the movie. There was just no reference to him being an outsider or whatever. So I didn't know that Saro was a term for that.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, so I wouldn't be able to speak to it. But yes, that's a universal word that's used for people that come from Sierra Leone.
Thank you, Nikki. I've learned something new today, actually, because I always wondered. Yeah, and I know there was this play that was produced by Terra Culture, Bolanle Osipeter's production, also titled Sorrow. I didn't see the time it showed, but so that was one of the reasons why the name was really catchy for me. I was like, oh yeah, and I'm glad that I finally learned what the concept of that name is. And thank you for sharing. It's great to know that this story has, it's like something that is really close to home. It's something about your family, yet it's also a story that every African, I think, can relate to. Like you said, it's our own story. And exactly. And as Yejide Kilanko said about the book, it's basically an African, like it's a beautiful African tale, and you just brought complex history to life. So talking about history and bringing complex histories to life, you've previously written a historical work of fiction before as well, Thread of Gold Beads. So I just want to ask, why do you have, like, is there a reason why you have a particular interest in historical fiction? Why are you drawn to this genre of writing? Yeah,
I know, right? I know. I feel so drawn. I read contemporary fiction, but I seem drawn to write more historical. But I do read other forms as well. But well, for historical, I think it stems from the fact that I'm always inquisitive about things that have happened in the past, because if we know what happens in the past, it informs our present, and it also helps us in navigating the future. So I'm that kind of a person, that I always want to know what happened. And if I know what happened, maybe I can avoid, I can avoid like circumstances that came to some negative ends, or learn something new. So I've always tried to learn something new from history, and I do enjoy history in all forms, actually. So I'm really just drawn to that. Now, of course, well, growing up, I grew up around my maternal grandparents, and so I heard a lot of stories about their lives. And maybe that was the foundation for how I was drawn to history and stories of the past. So also, I think my environment contributed to that as well, growing up around older people. I am also attracted, I'm so drawn to older people too. I love to sit around older people and hear their stories about their lives, and what shaped their lives and their decisions. So I guess that's why. But it's always very enjoyable for me to research and then to write and just to ruminate over things that happened. And hopefully that will educate people around me as well, as it does me.
Thank you very much for that.
Thanks.
So I just wanted to ask, Sarah dates back to over two centuries ago. And like you mentioned, it tells a story of slavery and about a king and his wife, and, you know, just the horrors that they went through. And at the same time, it's telling a love story. So how was this writing process like for you?
It's layered. I think that's the best way to put it. When I start writing, you know, you have a goal. You kind of, I don't know for other people, but for me, I already kind of know how the beginning starts and maybe some of the middle and the end. But then I let my creativity, I let it free, because I think as writers, that's what we need to do. Because if it was science, that's easy. This is how I want it to go. But you let the characters speak for themselves. So when I write, I have the characters, but then there are so many layers to an individual. So when I do that, I realize that people do have flaws. So when I write, I don't write a perfect character. I write them with their flaws. I write them with their desires. And so when the love story within Sorrow started, and it was not just one love story, it was a love triangle. If you've read it, you know what I'm talking about. There were three people involved.
Yes.
And so we know that in reality, this happens, but people do not want to talk about it. So I gave myself the liberty to write as close to reality as I would, because people go through these things and then they make a decision like, who do I stay with? Who do I not stay with? Do I stay with them all? And that's the reality of the world we live in. So when I wrote it, I wrote the love interest and the love triangle in the most realistically possible way I could, and left people with the question of, did it really happen or didn't it happen? I leave readers with the opportunity to make their own decisions at the end. I think that's what I try and do, because everybody has to have their own mindset about how they see life and how they view their reality. And that's what I try to do in Sorrow.
Yeah. Yes, and I really enjoyed the aspect of, I mean, that love triangle you talked about, and also you spoke about mental health, religion, and all that stuff. And I like that, even though the book is set in the 17th century. Am I right? It's the 17th century,
Yes,
right?
you're
Or is
right.
it
You're
18th?
right.
Okay, yes. So
Yes.
even though the book is set in the 17th century, we get to see things that people think that it's only us in this generation that have experienced it, but it's not. They date back to as far back as the 14th century, 16th, 17th century, and I like that we see that in the book as well. And also, speaking about this being a story that is kind of your family story, so I know that there's a lot of research you would have done. You'd have gone to look back at family history. But how much of this did you have to make into fiction? Like, how much of the book did you have to think of aside from the reality of these two people and what happened to them?
Yeah, so from when they left to go into Sierra Leone was more of like fictional, more of the fictional characters came in. People like Oshintade, Walt, the other people they came across. The locations are real, but the characters I allowed to craft into what I would
Yeah.
envision them to have gone through, and the locations and the buildings and all of that. That was also rich research, but I used my mind and my ideas to kind of like craft that wall. How would it have been? How could it have been? Of course, there was research, but again, I had to build a new world as well. So I would say 40%, 40 to 60% of that, 40% being reality from my research, and 60% I created new worlds. And the funny part is that I enjoyed creating those new worlds so much. And the characters like Oshintade, who was such a
Yeah.
strong female character, and she was like a female role model for Dotunu. I think I created that out of my own desire and what I've seen in my reality of having so many strong Black women around me. And I envisioned Dotunu having that because she didn't have a mother. So when she actually went to a foreign land, she found things that she didn't even have in her other world in Abeokuta. She actually
Yeah.
found them in Sierra Leone. So it was a plus for her. She found so many positive things in her lives when she was actually taken away. And so I think I was in that way. I was trying to write into the story, and hopefully people got that message that even though negative things happen to us, positive
Yeah.
things do come out of them. And so we need to be
Sure.
aware of those things as well, because there is also positivity out of, evil and negative issues that might arise in our lives.
Really beautiful. I like that about the character Oshitade and for Dotunu as well. I like that you were able to pull that off and bring the whole women, supporting women or a woman to look up to kind of
We need
thing.
that. We do need that as women.
Yes, we do.
As speaking of characters, so not to give out spoilers or anything, but one character that really struck with me, because when we talk about love, people the first thing people will think about is just the romance, and there was that. But I think that one of the love stories that struck out to me was between Iriti. Now, I don't want to give out spoilers, but I want to know why did you, because I did think that if Iriti was not part of the book, it would still have flown, like it would still have
Yeah,
made sense.
I
But
agree.
why was it important to you to add that love? Because we see that love, we see that connection between
Yeah.
Iriti and, a certain woman. So why was that important to you?
I think it was more, and Iriti was another character that was fictional, and she was just someone that Dotunu cared for so much. And I wanted to show Dotunu's maternal side, even loving her, maybe even more than her first child or her other children. And I
Yeah.
think this stemmed from the fact that I wanted representation for those that are, and Iriti represented someone who had so much knowledge but was overlooked in so many areas. She was mute, but she saw things that other people couldn't see. And
Yes.
I think in that character, I was trying to send the message that we should never underestimate people. People with disabilities, that was a representation that was in the book that I have not seen in other books. People with disabilities are very much as human and as important anywhere. And I thank God that right now in our society, people with disabilities are being showcased and highlighted, that they are people too, and their needs also need to be met. So Iretti represented that. And so I think that that love showed in her, in many ways, in her character as a person who, even though she was disabled, she still had so much power and so much knowledge. And I think that's what I wanted to show with her character as well. And the love that she could, you know, bring out of people, and she could give as well. And she was very forgiving. She was quite forgiving based on her relationship later on with the character in mind we were talking about.
Thank you for that. Because Iretti was one of the characters that I had a soft spot for. So I just wanted to ask you, what is your take on the African literature industry? I mean, as someone living in the diaspora, do you think that foreign living affects the way you write about Africa? And if not, how do you stay true to your roots? Like we see in this book, it is very authentic. So how do you stick, how do you stay true to your roots?
Oh, that's a very, very loaded question. I think it's a personal thing. People have their different ways. So I wouldn't say what I'm going to say is the Bible. You know, we're all unique in our own ways. So people will tap into their authenticity and their connections in so many ways. Some people can do this by just talking to people, or there's so many ways because we are unique. But for me, I try and stay connected to my roots by visiting home, by staying in connection with the people I know, getting to know new people, and also reading history. As I said, I've always been drawn to history, and especially African history. I started a non-profit called Our Paths to Greatness a few years ago, where I highlighted Africans doing, you know, accomplishing things in their lives. And again, this was my way of staying connected. Like, what are Africans doing? People don't talk about us, but we are doing amazing things in the world, and we're contributing to things in the world, and we have been for so many centuries. Why aren't we being highlighted like other races and tribes, you know? And I realized that we have to do it ourselves. We can't be waiting around, because the other cultures, they did it. Why can't we talk about it? And I realized that we do this to our stories. So why don't we elevate ourselves through our storytelling? Storytelling can be by writing. It can be by documentary. It can be by podcast, which you guys are doing. So you are doing your own bit as well by highlighting African stories, African cultures. So when I do this, Our Paths to Greatness was one of the ways I did this. Also, as I said, just staying connected with my family, with my friends in Nigeria, with other Africans. I have other African friends. Just finding out what's going on in your country, what's going on in your community. I always try and stay plugged in. I guess this is how I do it as well. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, I actually think that helps a lot. That's a lot of staying true to your African roots, connecting with what's going on. And like you said, having people like the podcast do things that showcase what's going on in Africa, in the African literary space and all that stuff. And also, I mean, this book is very rich, like Faith said. It's very grounded.
Yes,
it's very African. You pick it up and it's like you're seeing a movie. Like you're seeing a Yoruba movie, right?
Yes, you're right.
Yes. So it's really beautiful and
Thank you. Well done.
And I must say that I particularly like that the story sticks true to what existed at the time. I mean, with the names that we see with Siwolu, Osulu. I hope I'm not murdering the names. My Yoruba is not.
No, you're not.
The best.
Yeah.
Yes, Dotunu. You know, those really old names in that era. So we know that, there are some names that you hear today. You know, I mean, you hear a name like Tiara Oluwa. You know, you're not going to hear that kind of name in the 17th century, because those are kind of modernized.
That's right.
So I like that we have names that show that you knew what you were writing and you knew the era that you were in. I also particularly like that the story showed us, you know, the Oyo and Dahomey divide, the slave ports, Sierra Leone, the Marina, Eko. Because when I was reading about Eko, particularly, I live in Lagos, so I'm reading about Eko, I'm reading about the Marina. I'm trying to picture what it looked like in the year you're writing. I'm like, okay, so this place, we have all these ships and all these boats and, you know, white men, Portuguese, and we're just seeing slave trade happening. So it was a pretty good picture.
Lagos holds a lot of history, which is why those areas really need to be historical landmarks. It should be somewhere that people can go to today and say, this used to be this place. We shouldn't erase history from. And that's one thing I would love for the government of Nigeria to hold. Our history is so important. Our history is so important. Tourism, and that can bring tourism. History is as important as that, and it can bring in people. Because Lagos was a real hub for slave trade then, just like Ghana, the Gold Coast, you know, all those areas, those slave ports. Yeah. They could be tourist areas. They could be really, really big. So history adds to that. History should not be erased in that manner.
Yeah, I love that. History should actually not be erased. And you already spoke of you had to do a lot of research and, you know, talking to people, talking to, I think it was your interview with Spring NG. You're talking about, you know, talking to friends in Sierra Leone, visiting a couple places. So how was that? How much time did you spend in research? And would you say it was tedious? I know, I mean, in the end, it was fulfilling because the book came out just the way you wanted it to be. But how much time, how much work did you have to put in for research?
A lot of, you know, bibliography, researching in the libraries, and then the actual visit there. I spent about less than a week in Sierra Leone, but it felt like a long time because I had a limited period of time. So we had to go by boat to the islands. We visited the big market. We visited Hastings, where my ancestors would have stayed. And so that was brief, but it was packed in with so much to do. So the researching and the knowledge gathering was very tedious. But that actually is the most important part because that's your foundation for writing. So when I did start writing, it just flowed because I already had the knowledge in me. So it flowed when I was writing because I knew the direction it was going to go because I had done the background work. Now, the more tedious part for me, which I don't know if it's with other people, but the character building and the background stories for each person, I think it's essential and it's important to every story. Every individual in a story has some background history, which kind of like determines their character and their decisions. So in building these characters, for instance, Walt, who was one of the main characters there, he had a backstory too. And I had to kind of like flesh this out, not necessarily in the book, but in my mind and in my side writings. So I think that was the most tedious part for me, building these characters and their backstories. But once I had it, it flowed in the book and it determined how they moved and the decisions that made throughout the book that shaped who they were and the decisions at the end. So I would say that was the most tedious for me. The traveling, I love to travel. So that was like vacation. That was so enjoyable for me, going to different places. But the character building, I love to travel. I'm like, yes, let's go. Where? When? I'm there. So the character building and shaping them was the most tedious, but the most, at the end of the day, it was essential to the story as a whole.
That's a whole lot of work. And I think that's why more people who read, and I actually think that readers appreciate the work that goes to writing, but I think like they need to understand more when it comes to art, like any form of art, be it filmmaking, be it writing, or even painting, that there's a lot that goes on in the background before you have that finished product. Exactly. And someone will pick up this book. And they're like, oh, I like it. Or maybe even have a contrary opinion, but you don't know how much work has gone into, you know, creating these characters that we see, creating the triangles, the backstories. And I even like how you bring in Ajayi Crowder into the story.
We know that you
connect the dots and your research was really well put together. So thank you for that.
Thank you. That's so lovely of you to say. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So I think that, like Ufama said earlier, one of the things that made this book really, really amazing for me was how authentic that it felt. And one of the ways was with the names that you used in this book. So speaking of names, I just wanted to ask, what is the one thing that you enjoy about telling this type of stories, this type of African stories?
Our cultures, the culture. I love culture so much. And so when I write, I try and bring that out. The parts and culture is always connected, especially in those times, with religion. And I really enjoyed particularly Dotunu and her father, and also the sisterhood in Sierra Leone, how they had their little sisterhood and their community. And that existed then, even before Christianity. So I wanted to bring that out, that there were other traditional religions and other cultures. You know, it was a melting pot. So I really did enjoy writing that in the story, because that gave it the authenticity you mentioned, but it also gave it, I want to say, color and vibrancy. And I wanted that to show in the writing, because it gave it so much color and so much life, because that made them who they are and the environment they lived in at that time. So I wanted to write that in and just showcase the cultures, the different cultures and the different belief systems that, you know, that kind of like shape their decisions, because that will, your beliefs will shape your decisions and the way you move in the world. So I wanted to make sure that was brought in nicely into the story.
Thank you so much for your answers, Nike. I have a lot more to ask, but I'm sure Ufoba will kick me.
Why am I kicking you? But really, thank you, Nike, for just having this sit down with us and talking about your book. Guys, Saro is an amazing book. You should go to any bookstore to you, pick it up the shelves, and, you know, just dive into this beautiful world of Siwolu and Dotunu and the many, many other people we get to see in their journey and, you know, see how it all ends. This is inspired by true events, as the writer has just told us, and it takes us on a journey through Lagos to Freetown and Hastings of Sierra Leone, and it's between the 1830s to the 1850s. So, I mean, if you enjoy Bridgerton historical fiction, you would really love this, because this is like really amazing piece of history, and it's beautiful. So really, thank you for putting this together, Nike, and
we're so
glad we got to sit down to speak with you.
Thank you
so much. Thanks for the platform. I appreciate all you podcasters for books, African books. I appreciate every one of you for giving us this platform.
Thank you. We are honored.
Thank you so much. So you can find Nike on social media. She's on Instagram at Nike_Campbell. But we would also leave it in the description box, a link to her profile in the description box. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Remember to follow us on Instagram and Twitter and share this episode with your friends. This book makes for good conversations, trust me. So make sure you share it with your friends and to fellow book lovers like you.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to us. Please remember to subscribe and follow us on our social media handles. Details are in the description box.